Your emperor is pleased to give you the Barbarian Horde.
Horrorman from Zeus.
Our show.
They're extra-dimensional beings that...
With your host,
Ross. We are tonight's entertainment.
The program.
Where they talk about sports. Politics.
And you can tell them to go themselves
and anything worthy enough
of their attention.
So it begins.
Welcome to our show, where we talk about sports, politics, and anything else worthy enough of our attention. Whether you're listening to us at home, your car, or at home, we welcome you. Make sure to subscribe and download us on Podomatic to keep up with weekly episodes. I'm your host of Mars, and you know what? Wait up a second. Check this out.
Guess who's back?
Oh, you know who's back?
Oh, who's back?
Wretch is back! My co-host with the most. Wretch, how you doing, dog?
Happy New Year to you, sir.
Oh, Happy New Year's. Yes, he is back, and we got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to recap Week 17 of the NFL, talk Wild Card Weekend, talk Killer Santas, and say goodbye to a princess.
Yeah, like, you know how I said Happy New Year? I hate when people say Happy New Year's, or they say Happy Holidays, because I don't give a shit. It means nothing to me.
Like...
And then I feel like I have to be pressured to say, oh, hey, Happy New Year. But, like, every douchebag in America, that's the first thing you're going to hear right now is, oh, Happy New Year. Have a Happy New Year. How was your New Year's? Like, don't ask me how my New Year's was. Did you do anything for New Year's?
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
No. I think I was brushing my teeth when the clock hit 12. You know, lately I have submitted to people. Back in the day, we used to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yeah, that's the other one, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. You know, I said it when it was around that time. I would say, hey, but lately I have conformed to the liberal agenda, and I haven't wanted to offend anybody. So I of Mars have taken it on myself, and I have. Told people Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas, because there's some people that don't celebrate Christmas, like atheists, because they're going to hell, and I don't want to offend them. Yeah.
That's not even something I would ever have thought about. Like, I wouldn't even care. If I was gonna say Merry Christmas, I would just say it. Like, I wouldn't give a shit if they don't believe in it or not.
I was a cashier at Home Depot, and I told this lady Merry Christmas. And she's all, you know, you shouldn't say Merry Christmas. You should say Happy Holidays, because there's a lot of us that don't celebrate Christmas.
Hey, what kind of douchebag doesn't celebrate Christmas? I guess if you're Jewish, right?
I'm also, you don't open presents on Christmas morning. You must have a real, your family must hate you.
Is Christmas like a religious holiday?
It's the birth of Christ. So, these days you open presents and you think of, to me, these days Christmas means presents. But, you know, back in the day when Jesus was born, whenever he was born, the Magi brought presents and gifts when he was born. So I guess that's where it kind of came from. But you're supposed to celebrate that it's birth, his birth, and then Easter is when he resurrects himself.
But if you don't believe in God, then you don't celebrate Christmas.
Oh no, I bet those filthy cocksuckers open up presents because everyone's buying presents and, you know, going to malls and doing all this shit, causing traffic for me.
They'll say they hate Jesus or they don't believe in God, but they'll accept all the presents that come
for
all the gifts they get.
They love the Christmas office Christmas parties, but they don't believe in Christ.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And actually, you know, it's New Year's Day, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it is.
This is today is January 1st. It is 2017. It's the official first episode of our show in 2017. And I'm going to ask you, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
My only resolution for 2017 is to save a lot of money.
Well, that's a good one.
A lot of people, they say, oh, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to eat healthier. My objective is to save a ton of money this year.
That's an excellent goal.
Yeah.
You know, I have a few resolutions. Well, first of all, let me talk about resolutions. And I have a bone to pick with resolutions because most, I would say like 80%, maybe even 90% of people that are out there say, oh, my New Year's resolution is to fucking go on a diet, go to the gym 4 times a week. That's it. I'm changing my life. But, you know, now I'm turning 31 in 9 days, and I think I've just experience everything, every New Year's and hearing all this bullshit that people want to say just to sound cool. It's all a bunch of bullshit because people start it, and then 2 weeks later, they forget all about it. They get swept up. So, like, for instance, today I was going to go to the gym, which I have been going to the gym since July, 3 times a week, every week since July. So I didn't need a New Year's to tell me to go to the gym. I went there because I wanted to better myself. I didn't go today because it's New Year's Day. I'm guessing there's going to be...
A lot of places are closed today.
Well, I'm guessing there's probably going to be 8 trillion people at the gym today that are a bunch of idiots just getting in my fucking way. So I didn't go. So you don't need a year to tell you when to change. It's stupid. It's retarded.
You shouldn't have to rely on the new year to say, oh, I need to eat right. Like, you should already be eating right. Like, you should be eating healthy.
Yeah. What does 2017, what does a year changing have to change with inside you? The change happens with inside you. Yeah. It doesn't need some external force like 2017 to change you. Because if it does, I'm pretty sure on New Year's Eve you're getting shit face wasted, and then the next day you're too hungover to do anything anyways. You're already starting off the new year all fucked up and stupid.
Like, I don't really believe in resolutions either.
I don't either. I mean, well, you know what? I'm guilty because I've tried resolutions in the past, and I failed it because I would do the same thing. I would do it for like a week or 3 days even, and then I would just fail. I would just be like, oh,
you know,
yeah,
I've never made a New Year's resolution, ever. Good.
You just made one.
And I was about to say, I've never made one, and this might be my first one that I've ever done and said out loud.
Well,
and believed in it. Like, I actually believe that I'm going to do this, like, this goal of mine.
Well, see, this is why it's going to work with you. And let's bring up a specimen, like okay, you are pretty good at saving money. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, I would say so.
So it wouldn't be that difficult for you to tidy down, maybe tighten up some few things to save even more money, right?
Yeah.
It's believable. Now, see, one of my ex-girlfriends, she had a complete spending problem. I remember she got a credit card from the Gap one day, and 2 days later, she maxed it out.
Oh, my God.
And she has an incredible debt and this and that. So if she were to come up to me before New Year's and say, oh, I'm going to start saving, that's complete bullshit. Maybe she, like, see, like, people create these goals and resolutions that are so far-fetched and ridiculous, they're never going to fucking do it. If you are going to make a resolution, you should make a resolution based off of, like,
something realistic.
Yeah, like, I've been going to the gym 3 times a week since July.
So, like, maybe your resolution should be, I'll go 4 times.
Exactly. Like, take a small step. Not something like, oh, I'm going to start going 6 times a week. Or something like that. You don't want to do something too big, neither. Plus, I've learned in the past that when you say your goals out loud or your resolutions out loud, a large percentage of the time, it's not going to happen. So I have resolutions, but I'm not going to share it.
Okay.
Because I have a lot of projects in my head, and I just want to do it and keep it to myself. But things that that everybody knows that I'm doing is the three exams to get into my credential school and apply to credential school. That's my only goals. Like,
I kinda,
in 2017, that's it.
I kind of agree with what you're saying. Do you not want to say them out loud because you don't want to be considered a failure in the eyes of your peers if you don't achieve those goals?
Well, you know, I read an article on a psychology article, and they said that this crazy percentage saying that if you say your goals out loud, let's say 60% out of the time or even higher, you're not going to do it because I forgot what it said, but it was a really good article. And they said, if you got goals, keep them to yourself and just work to it. And you have a better chance of succeeding in those goals instead of blattering them out to everybody and falling face on your head. It's some psychological thing in your brain.
Psychological, yeah. I get it.
I forgot how it was. But you know, my gripe is all those assholes with these resolutions. Oh, it's a new me. It's a fresh start. Kiss my ass.
I don't even give a shit. I don't care that the year has changed. I don't get how people celebrate it. And I know it's just a reason to drink, but like a lot of people really do go overboard with the celebrating and stuff like that. Like, I've never celebrated New Year's ever, and I don't get it. It's just like I never celebrate 4th of July.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, maybe as a kid, I would go see fireworks. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's like, I don't give a fuck about it. I don't give a shit about New Year's. I don't give a fuck about 4th of July. And then I hate when you go into work the next day and everyone says, oh, so what'd you do? What'd you do for New Year's?
How was your weekend?
How was the 4th? Like, why do I have to? And then it's like, now I feel pressure to say, I did this, I did that. It's like, you know what? Fuck you guys. Like, I don't even, at this point in my life, I don't even give a shit. I straight up say, hey, you know what? I watch YouTube all day with my headphones. That's what I did. And I had fun.
I watched the movie Spotlight last night. The one about the Catholic priest molesting children. That's how I brought in the New Year's yesterday.
Yeah, I was watching War Dogs, I think.
Yeah. I just I could have gone out with our friends last night, but I was just like, man, I don't want to sit through traffic. I don't want to go through parking, find parking downtown. I don't want to deal with drunk assholes that are just there just to, like, yeah, I don't know.
It's the people,
like,
that ruin it. And plus, I didn't feel like drinking. And then I also don't want to spend money because I'm already trying to save. Trying to get into the right mindset.
You're starting off the year the right way, right?
Yeah.
Imagine if you would have went out last night, got shit-faced drunk, spent $100, then you're just like, oh, you're already stepping into 2017 with mud on your boots.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, see, so all those pieces, dumbasses that are, oh, I'm going to start eating healthy. And,
I'll start tomorrow because I'm too fucked up.
I'm going to start tomorrow. But then they can't start tomorrow because they're hungover as shit.
And they got to go to work. And then their life starts again. And then that's it. It's
and
over.
They get swept up in the rat race again. And you're fucked. So it's like, just keep out there in America, keep your New Year's resolutions to yourselves because I don't give a shit about them. I don't want to hear them.
Don't ask me how my New Year's was.
You know, I've been in the workforce long enough to know how exactly to say. Like if somebody says, how was your weekend? And you just want a short answer thing.
Right, okay.
This is all you have to say. Uh-huh. You say, not long enough.
You know what? That's what I do. I do say stuff like that.
You just say that and you just walk away.
Wasn't long enough. Yep. That's exactly what
I said. Just walk away.
That's funny.
Yeah. Anyways, good?
Yeah.
Ho! Now it's time for NFL Week 17 Recap. Brought to you by our show. And the NFL season is over. And let's go. Houston, Tennessee. Tennessee 24, Houston 17. With our boy Tom Savage getting a concussion in the second quarter and Brock Osweiler coming in. Any stats on that, bud?
Is his name Tom or Mike?
Tom Savage.
You got a
Tom Savage, right?
He got a concussion doing a quarterback sneak. He wasn't in the game that long, but his boy DeAndre Hopkins, he had 7 catches for 123 yards. Brock Osweiler actually threw for 253 yards and a touchdown. So I don't know who's going to start next week against the Raiders.
Who gives a shit? That's going to be we'll get more into that later, but I'm not looking forward to seeing that Raider-Texan wildcard game at all. New England at Miami. Miami in New England taking it to Miami, 35-14. Any stats?
The legend and Hall of Famer Tom Brady, 25 of 33, 276 yards and 3 touchdowns. They clinched the number one seed.
Also, they acquired Malcolm Floyd, right, from Arizona because they released them. Did he score a touchdown today?
That I don't know.
Oh, all right. Philadelphia over Dallas, 27-13. Today, we saw Romo's 2016 2017 debut. How did he do?
Meaningless game for the Cowboys, but Romo went 3 for 4, 29 yards, and a touchdown pass.
He looked smooth. He looked clean.
It looked like he did what, and like he had his way with the Eagles.
That was the first string Eagles, by the way. I know the Eagles aren't a good team, but he looked good out there, especially, he didn't even have Zeke out there. Or Witten wasn't even out there neither. He had McFadden. I don't think that he had Witten out there.
The way that game started, it seemed like it was going to be a long day for Dak. He went like 4 for 8, and he just seemed like he was getting blitzed every play. Like, it seemed like it was going to be one of those games where it was going to be like a long fought game, hard fought game.
Yeah.
And when Romo came in, he kind of just... he just threw all over them with ease. Like, it was like nothing to him.
It was clean, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you also have to kind of, I guess you could say you kind of also have to put in perspective that, I mean, you have film from Romo, you know, from past years. I think probably 10 years almost now. But at the same time, it's like he comes in. And you're not prepared. How he's gonna play? You know, so he probably did catch the defense off guard. But let's not take anything from Romo. He looked good. He looked smooth. Whether it's just to warm up for the playoffs, just in case, knock on wood, or to showcase them to other teams.
A meaningless game, but one thing that game did prove
was that
Mark Sanchez is a straight up piece of shit.
A grade A.
He does
piece
not belong
of shit.
In this league anymore.
He does not. He threw two interceptions.
Two picks. I mean, he blew the game. He's the reason why they lost.
They
that
could
game.
Have won that game. Yeah. They could have been 14-2 for the first time in franchise history.
Fucking bum. Garbage.
He is. Honestly, when Romo came in, I cheered. I was really pumped up to see Romo. I was excited to see Romo. But when he came out after that one and only series, I was deflated. Oh, man, I was like, Mark Sanchez. And then in his first drive, Mark Sanchez threw an interception. Unbelievable. Anything else to add to that?
Yeah, just rest in peace, Philly.
Rest in peace, assholes. Atlanta on top of New Orleans, 38-32. Atlanta gets with the win, gets that second seed and the division title. And Matt Ryan is number one candidate for MVP this year.
I guess he is. I don't know if he's number one, but after what he did today, he went 27 of 36, 331 yards and 4 touchdowns. And he threw 4 touchdowns to 4 different wide receivers. It almost feels like they're the most underrated number 2 seed team. Because I still don't look at them and I don't fear them. If Matt Ryan's just having a crazy year.
Well, from what everyone, what's Shanahan's son's name?
Kyle.
Kyle Shanahan is I'm going to give him this. He's a great offensive coordinator. He's a young guy. But the thing that I hear from all the analysts saying is that the Falcons defense isn't very good at all. So, if anything, that's their Achilles. And if you're going to go into Atlanta, you're probably going to go into a shootout with them.
Yeah. Yeah, and you need defense to win a Super Bowl. I mean, you can't just...
That has been the recipe since I could remember, and the only team that... You know, see, I was about to say the Colts, and when they beat the Bears in the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, I was going to say that year they had the 26th ranked defense that year. But when they got Bob Sanders back in time for the wild card weekend, everything. That defense played lights out. So the recipe is for a Super Bowl is still you need a defense. That's the number one requirement. You cannot do without it. And that's something that they do not have. Do you have anything else to add?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't, for some reason, I don't fear the Falcons, but I think he could probably torch the Cowboys secondary for some odd reason.
It's Julio crazy. Jones?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, pretty dynamic duo over there. And the Giants on top of the Washington Redskins, 19-10 in Washington. This eliminates Washington from playoff contention, gave the Lions that sixth seed because they lost tonight. And the Giants are cemented in the fifth seed. You got any stats?
You know, Eli, he had a pretty average day. He didn't really do too much. But the one thing that stood out to me was they had their two running backs. I don't know, it was Perkins and Jennings. They combined for 161 yards rushing.
Wow.
And if you combine that with defense, that's a pretty good recipe to go into the playoffs. And Washington committed three turnovers in that game. So, I mean... They're forcing turnovers, they're running the ball, and they're playing defense, and they've got Eli Manning.
That's a recipe
so
for Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I fear them more than I do the Falcons. Denver over Oakland, 24-6. And with this loss, with this loss and Kansas City's win, they are now the fifth seed and going to Houston next week. Any stats on that?
The Raiders' world is crumbling before our eyes right now. I know McGloin got hurt.
Yeah.
A shoulder injury. And his name's Connor Cook. He came in. He went 14 of 21 for 151 yards. He threw a touchdown and one pick. I'm pretty sure that was just dinking and dunking since they only scored 6 points. I didn't get a look at him. I don't know how if he look. I mean, when I look at McGloin, he's one of those guys where you don't think he looks like a quarterback. I didn't get a look at Cook, so I don't know if he's gonna be like a better choice.
Well, he can't beat McGloin in a bat. He can't beat McGloin for that second spot, so I don't think there's any hope for Cook at all.
Man, this McGloin had it teed up for him, like. He could have been a Bay Area hero if you'd have just kept the Raiders going, playing steady. He had it lined up for him. He could have been the hero, you know.
But as we were saying earlier, it takes defense to win championships. And you know what? That Raider defense isn't there. It isn't to a Super Bowl caliber. And that's they're missing.
And that's
a part of their missing.
And Carr pretty much, with Carr being hurt, he exposed pretty much the Raiders defense.
Oh yeah.
Because he played like he had to do a lot to make up for that bad defense. So
definitely.
Without him, now that defense is out on the island, like if they want any shot of winning, they have to play defense now. It's a shame because they have like the best defensive player right now in Khalil Mack.
Yeah, great player. And I think they'll get from what I heard a couple weeks ago, they'll get Aldon Smith back next week as well, which will definitely help with that.
They need everything
rush.
They need all the help.
Yeah, right. Raider Nation. Hey, you know what you said? Rest in peace to the Eagles. Raider Nation, rest in peace. Because, I mean, so let's say if you beat the fucking Texans next week because you're playing a team that has no quarterback neither. Then what? You're not going to win in the divisional round. So rest in peace. Oh, by the way, since Carr's out and the Raiders are complete shit, would that jump Derek Carr to MVP candidacy?
Oh,
Is it debatable?
And it's not debatable
because
he's out for the year now. But yeah, that'd be a good point.
He's out and his team's fucking crumbled. Yeah,
crumbled.
They're done.
I've never seen a player win MVP after they've gotten hurt.
Nah, I don't. I think all the fingers are pointing to Matt Ryan he'll or either Aaron Rodgers.
He'll win comeback player of the year next year.
He probably will. And Kansas City, Red Hot Kansas City in San Diego, 37-27. You got stats.
Alex Smith, 21 of 28, 264, two touchdowns and a pick. Just playing efficient. They clinched the number two seed.
Yep.
Swept the division.
Got the bye.
And they're number two. Is just I don't see the Chiefs. It's like it's kind of like with Atlanta. Like I don't see them being like this powerful number two team. But
I my candidate for coach of the year is right here. Andy Reid should be coach of the year. And I do fear the Kansas City Chiefs, not because of their quarterback play, but they got a good coaching staff. They got a really good defense led by. They got Houston and Ali, I think, that pass rusher. And then you got Eric Berry. Not only that, but you got the offense is playing really good right now, too. They got a great run game. That's a good recipe. But to play the Patriots in the future, I think the train stops there. Man,
they have Alex Smith. So Alex Smith is, you know, he's going to throw that pick. He will. He's just like Stafford.
No, you know, Alex Smith won't throw that pick, that crucial pick. He just won't be able to make that big play to get his team to where they need to go to get down the field quick enough. That's my thing with him. Anything else?
That's about it.
All right. Now time for Noteworthy News. 2017 edition. 2017. We're living in the future now. It seems weird.
I'm just glad I made it out of 2016 with all the celebrity deaths.
All right, fucker. All right, speaking of celebrity deaths, some sad news. Carrie Fisher, a.k.a. Princess Leia from Star Wars, dies at age 60. When did she die? Monday?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Five days ago or so.
Yeah, and then her mother, Debbie Reynolds, dies the day after at age 84.
I heard they're going to have a mother-daughter joint funeral.
Get two for the price of one? I know, that's too early. That's a little bit too early. Sorry, Princess Leia. I would like to say a couple of things. I am a big Star Wars fan. I have a Star Wars tattoo like a fucking loser. And, Princess Leia is definitely, she was kind of like that first princess that I have ever seen on a movie. But, you know, she was pretty cute, but I never, like, rubbed it out to her or anything like that. But, you know, I love Star Wars. I love the original three. Just like to mention that, or I hope you're noticing that I'm not mentioning Episode 7, because I think that's a big pile of horseshit movie.
Yeah. Total horseshit.
And, yeah, I like to pretend that never happened. So, for the original three, and she was a big part of it, and I loved her, because I don't think... She didn't do anything after that. I don't know. Did you
know, I've never seen, I don't even know of her. I don't know her in anything other than Star Wars.
You know, I think one time I saw her in an episode of Laverne and Shirley. Have you seen that? You never seen Laverne and Shirley?
Nope.
Yeah, Wayne's World makes fun of the intro.
I was just watching that last night.
Wayne's World, you know, when they're working in the factory?
Yeah,
they put the glove on top of the empty bottle and they wave to it?
Yeah.
That's the intro of Laverne and Shirley.
Okay.
Or when they bump into the doors like that?
Right.
That's the show Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I never watched it, though.
Wow, you're missing out, bro. See, I used to watch Nick at Night. Remember Nick at Night?
Yeah.
I used to stay up really late to watch, like, those old school shows, like Taxi, Marvin, Mindy. Just all those old school shows from, like, the fucking 70s at the time. And,
I only watched I Love Lucy. That was the only old
show. I love Lucy. That was really funny. I think I could probably still watch a couple of those episodes and probably still laugh.
It might be hard to watch, but, yeah, I used to watch that a lot.
So, from our show, Carrie Fisher, rest in peace. You will be forever my princess.
I think right at the... Oh,
oh wait, what was it?
No, I think right before, like, yesterday or 2 days ago, the guy from MASH died. It was, like, just, like, another celebrity right before 2016.
You know, I... MASH, I've seen like an, they said that's one of the greatest TV shows to have ever been on air. I seen one of those episodes and
I can't watch past 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was boring and I didn't even know what the fuck was happening.
Yeah.
But then again, I was pretty young. Have you ever seen MASH?
I tried to watch it, but it's boring. Yeah.
What was it about? Yeah, Vietnam War?
That's the only thing. It's the only thing I could say is Vietnam, maybe, but. I don't know. Maybe I can go back now and watch it and understand it more that we're older. But like as a kid, like fuck that. Like even that music's depressing.
I don't even remember the music. I just remember like in the intro, the helicopter's dropping in, and then it just says "MASH" in white letters.
Yeah.
You know, we probably wouldn't even be able to understand it or comprehend it or relate to it these days because that was during the 60s, right? So people could probably relate to it because. They lived through it or they were living through it at the time.
Yeah.
And we're going to be like, what the fuck is this? Yeah, who gives a shit?
Yeah, it made sense back then. Wouldn't make sense today.
Yeah.
Unless they're in Afghanistan or something.
There you go. Or in Detroit. In other news, Charlie Sheen is on another Twitter rant. Charlie Sheen tweeted... talking about the celebrity deaths, right?
Right.
Carrie Fisher, Debbie Reynolds, and a lot of other celebrities have been passing away. He tweeted, "Dear God, Trump next, please," with a middle finger emoji. What is your thoughts on Charlie Harper's outrage? Or, he's expressing himself. What's going on?
I don't know. I'm not down with that comment. Isn't that a... No, that's not a federal crime, but threatening the president's life, you can go to jail for that,
No.
That you could.
I don't think that's a threat.
That wouldn't be a threat.
No, I don't think so.
But if you had threatened him, that could be a federal crime. But, yeah, that's not what he said, but, I mean... Or that's not what he did, but, yeah, just... I was a Charlie fan... For after watching Two and a Half Men, I think I've seen every single episode of it, and plus all his other movies. Like I like Charlie Sheen, but now I think different of him. Now it's like, okay, now can the AIDS speed up and kill you faster? It's like, how dare you insult our president?
So it took you until this moment where he said that he wishes death on Trump for you to kind of switch your opinion on him.
Oh yeah.
So him having HIV and then knowing that he had HIV and then having unprotected sex with women and giving them HIV didn't persuade you to kind of think negatively of him?
No, well, I kind of did, but I heard an interview with Brie Olsen and she had said how he had private doctors on standby. So I guess the doctors would see the ladies first, and I guess I don't know what they did. She had stated that he had his own doctor always on standby.
To do what?
I don't know. I don't know. It's inject them with something or make sure that everything is safe. I don't know. But apparently they had a doctor on standby before they would have sex or whatever. Check him out and stuff.
So he had HIV, right?
Yeah.
And then his doctor was there, and then he checked the girls.
Something like that.
To protect them?
I guess. I don't know.
Or maybe. Well, the other... there's a chick that got HIV, right?
I don't know about that.
She came out and said that Charlie Sheen gave me HIV.
Wow. That's not just a publicity stunt? Or is it legit?
You know what? I like to think of Charlie as Charlie Harper from Two and a Half Men because you're the one that got me into that show, and I really, really like that show, especially when there was an episode, which was most of them, where the women came out, the hot-ass ones. Oh, yeah. My God. I've never seen such hot chicks on one show ever.
I can't even imagine that being on... a CBS, that's a family network. Like that show was kind of edgy, I would think.
Oh, most definitely. He was always banging a chick.
Yeah, in some episodes it was edgy.
And then never calling him.
Yeah, it was like it was morally wrong.
Totally.
Like every episode.
And then the guy that was morally right, he turned more and more into a fucking desperate scumbag, fucking Alan. His brother Alan. It was hella funny. The first time I watched that show, I saw it, and you know, I saw Alan, and he was always like trying to lecture Charlie, and I was like, man, fuck Alan. And I thought at that point, I thought Alan owned the house. And I was like, I was like, man, Alan's such an asshole. Like, geez, like this and that. And I find out Charlie owns the house, and he's the one living there for free, being like a fucking smoocher. So then I even hated Alan even more. But I think the point of the show, the lesson that I learned from Two and a Half Men was never to get married. Did you learn anything from that show? Any lessons on that?
No, not really. Because the way Charlie Sheen acts on that show, I relate to it. At least
how's that?
I don't know. The way he just doesn't give a fuck about like settling down and stuff like that. Like he's just like a bachelor. I don't know. I kind of I relate to him in some way.
Oh,
but. Apparently that show is like supposed to be written based off his life. It's like how good he had it, and he blew it, you know.
Yeah, he couldn't get along with the producers, yeah, right?
Told them to go fuck themselves or something like that.
And they fired him, right?
Yeah.
I think in the end both sides missed each other because then Charlie tried to do that stupid ass show Anger Management. Ugh,
it was horrible. I tried to like that show.
Sucked so bad.
Cuz I wanted to like it so bad, and I forced myself to watch it, but after a while, I had to give up. It was just so dumb.
Dude, in the beginning of that show, like, his character was... Isn't his character's name Charlie, too, in that show?
Yeah.
And in the show, like, remember, he was like a psychologist, right? Or a therapist for anger management, yeah. And he was all serious and this, but then I think their ratings started going down a lot.
I think the first episode was like the highest rated show like ever on FX.
Yeah.
And then yeah, after that it just tanked.
It tanked, but then they changed the character to like be like Charlie Harper from Two and a Half Men, right?
Because as the seasons went on, it got more wild because the show was just him.
Yeah,
it was just him talking to the patients. Like, I didn't give a fuck about that circle that they had.
Yeah, it's so gay.
I didn't care about those characters.
I hated that old man and the white guy. Yeah, like
the hot Arab chick was hot.
Though. Oh, she was hot as fuck. But those other characters were so not funny.
Yeah, they're just dumb.
And then I think they knew that they were losing they were dropping in ratings, so they just started having him be drunk and he started banging chicks like on the reg on the show. It's like so dumb.
And then that David Austin Green guy went on the show, and then he was like his partner, or Brian Austin Green, the dude that's married to
Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Oh,
like he got on the show, and then like that was like his partner basically, and then it became a little more edgier. But yeah, it was just a ripoff.
Fucking Megan Fox. Oh my god. You know that she has three kids?
Jeez.
You know she has kids and
with
she still
that dude?
Looks at, yeah, with that guy.
Oh man.
She has a tattoo on her lower stomach. Brian. She tattooed Brian on her stomach. On her lower stomach.
She's perfect.
I think we said it a couple of episodes ago. She is she's the sexiest woman. Like, her face, her body just screams,
her eyes.
Fuck me, as hard as you can. I think my cousin said one time, he saw, I bet her breath smells like dick.
Or she's just built for to be fucked.
Oh, man, how that guy got her, because that guy, he doesn't do anything.
He hasn't done anything since 90210.
How did he get her?
I know.
It makes sense. And how have they been together for this long? He probably has a big dong. Huh.
To get someone like her and for him to not be so like that really all that famous. I mean, he just has that 90210 fame. I don't know him from anything else.
We should look up that bum's net worth.
He's, I would, you know what? I'm going to guess. I just know him as David Silver. That was his character's name.
Wait, Brian.
Brian Austin Green.
Austin
Green. You know what? I'm going to guess.
Net worth.
He can't be worth that much. I'm going to say $10 million. Not if that. I'm going to say $8
million. Fox is reportedly worth.
Megan Fox?
Oh, yeah. So this is Megan Fox.
I'm going to say $40
million. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you're way off, buddy. Fox is reported. Megan Fox, his wife, is reportedly worth $5 million. While David Austin Green is worth around $4 million.
Wow, I thought she'd be richer than that.
Yeah, I don't know how this guy has that much money when his show 90210 came out like in the 80s.
I guess he probably gets residuals for life.
Oh, like when there's a rerun, yeah. He gets like money from it.
Yeah.
Well, I have no problem with Charlie saying what he's saying. It's like, but then again, it's like, why is he even tweeting? And if he is tweeting, why would anybody take what he says seriously when he has fucked his whole life up?
I can't believe Megan Fox is only worth $5
million. I thought she would get...
On all the Transformer movies?
Yeah, and she just came out in the Ninja Turtle movies. I think they're all hits.
Yeah, aren't those all blockbusters?
Summer blockbusters.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Who's her agent? We need to fire that motherfucker.
She probably has the same agent from that one year that Tim Lincecum was getting paid $5 by the Giants that one year. Anyways, next noteworthy news, 40-year-old Texas mom was killed after her and her two daughters fell from a 25-foot fall from a chairlift. They were halfway up the slope. First lift chair death in 14 years. Wow. How does that happen?
How does one... I've never been skiing or snowboarding. I've never had to get on a chairlift. How does one fall off a chairlift?
You know...
There's no safety precautions or safety measures. Like, how does that happen? Like, how can you possibly fall?
Well, there is in certain chair lifts, there is like a bar that goes around you. So it goes around you and then it's in front of you. So like it'll put you in place, but it's two daughters. I don't know how old her daughters were. Okay.
Were
so
9 and 12,
9 and 12 years old. My guess is maybe one of them was horsing around. Maybe they were both horsing around and one slipped off. And once one slipped off, the mother tried to grab him and she fell off too. That's what I'm thinking. And it's funny that you bring up this story to today's episode because we're going snowboarding next weekend. And it's your first time snowboarding, right?
It is.
So you're going to be in a chairlift for the first time.
Oh, wow. After hearing this story.
Yeah, how does that make you feel?
I'm just going to...
You're just going to start freaking out in the middle of the ride?
I'm going to think about falling off this chairlift. Does it go that high, 25 feet?
It goes fucking hella high. Because when you're up there, you're like, you can see like, you're like level with the trees. Like the top of the trees, some trees. And you look down and you're fucking high. So, when I'm up there and I'm always thinking, if this cable breaks and this chair just starts falling... Like, is there a place around me down there where it's like a soft pile of snow?
What, like, you know how the chairs, they swing back and forth, right? Or are they like solid?
They're pretty sturdy, but they do, if you want to rock them, you could rock them.
Like, what if there's like a big gust of wind that just comes by? Like, would that affect the movement of the chair?
I think it would. Because when you're riding up and you pass the towers that are pulling the cable, it gets bumpy. Ugh. So it kind of, you know,
sketchy.
But dude, you gotta realize that these cables like that they use hold up fucking bridges. So you have nothing to worry about. I mean, I've never felt there's never been like a close call for me or anything like that. So for this to happen to this mother and her two daughters is unfortunate. But at the same time, I know that something happened where one of them was horsing around. Yes. Probably the 9 and 12 year olds were horsing around. One slipped, or one wasn't placed, but it was in the middle of the chairlift ride. So jeez. Maybe one freaked out and wanted off, and he just freaked out.
Could you imagine if they were horsing around? Now the rest of their lives they have to live with the fact that they killed their mother.
What? Oh, didn't the daughters die?
No, the mother died. The daughters survived.
Oh, the daughters survived.
Yeah.
Wow. I read this wrong. My bad. Oh, jeez. They must be having... They probably are having a very terrible
they were horsing
holiday
around.
Season.
They didn't have a Happy New Year.
I can't believe like, I'm how laughing.
Imagine asking them how their New Year's are for the rest
they
of their lives.
They go back to school from winter break. Hey, Kelsey, how was your winter break? And she just starts crying.
Jeez. God, they've probably been off for 2 weeks. Shit. Come back to school now?
They probably got
an, died.
They probably got an extra month. I can't believe I'm laughing, by the way. This is terrible. How was your weekend? And she just looks at him and says, I killed my mother. What else are you going to say? Are they even going to be able to go back to school at all for that year? You know how traumatized those two children are?
In the news. I mean, shit, we live in California and we're talking about it. So, I mean, I'm sure everyone is aware what happened. They just probably don't know who it was, like, you know, like from school.
Well, those two girls that survived know exactly what happened up there. And they will have to live with that for the rest of their
counseling lives. Counseling the rest of their lives.
Most definitely. I mean, could you imagine 25-foot fall? You'd probably have to, jeez, like Christ, like, man, 25 feet. If I fall feet first from 25 feet, I think my legs will break, but I will survive. She must have landed on her head, right?
Just don't know how to fall. Like, if you're falling, don't you think you're going to brace for impact? Like, she's just, like, helplessly falling?
Well, you got to think about it, too. She either has skis or a snowboard strapped to her as well. So, the two daughters survived. I'm going to guess skis. I'm guessing the mom flipped over, or, like, when she was trying to reach for something, maybe she fell down head first. Right. I'm guessing.
She, like, fell head first, and then her legs are sticking up.
Yeah, or she fell, like, she belly flopped, and she, like, belly flopped like this, and her fucking skull caved in, maybe. What do you think?
What I'm thinking is, in this day and age, they can't develop a system to where it's more safe. Like, we're still on this carousel fucking rocking chair thing. Like, there's no... They haven't come up with a system to safely go up a mountain.
Like an enclosed cart?
Some type of escalator, yeah. Like, just something. Like, I mean, it just seems dangerous. Like, on a cable line.
You know what? It might be dangerous, but I think it's beautiful and peaceful up there when I'm riding up there. It's a nice... You know what? You come down the mountain from a cool run. That's what the kids call it, by the way, a cool run. You go, and then you get on top of there, and you sit down with your friend, and it's all nice and quiet up there. You see the tree lines and all across the mountains, and it looks cool up there. It's quiet. It's a nice, peaceful ride. I mean, and to tell you the truth, if we invent, or people, engineers invent safer ways, I'm pretty sure there's one fucko that's still going to be able to kill themselves. This happened after 14 years without a death.
Yeah.
So, you know, people get in car accidents in fucking cars all the time.
That's the other thing I don't understand. like you just drive on the freeway, it's like to work, and then you look at the accident, and the car is like looks like an accordion, just smashed in. Like, how fast are you going to have your car look like that?
What are you doing?
Like, what were you doing?
You were probably on your phone.
I could understand like a fender bender, but like to completely just total your car to where it just smashed in all the way. There's no excuse for that.
On a really rainy day about 11 years ago when I was 19 years old, I was driving back home from 101, and it was about 1 in the morning, and it was pouring fucking sheets of rain that night. And I was driving home, and I tell you the truth, I was probably driving about 45 miles per hour because it was so much rain. This guy in the same exact car that I'm driving blasts past me. He must have been going at least 65, 70. Yeah, yeah. Just goes past me, and I was like, wow, that guy is going so fucking fast in this rain. He goes about like a quarter of a mile ahead of me, and then out of nowhere, you just see his headlights facing me, and then he hits the center divider, and he just the whole front of his car was just completely crushed. And you know, for a second, you see, this is where I'm fucked up. I should have gotten out of the car. I should have pulled over, gotten out of the car, and see if they were okay, and called an ambulance for them. But I was like, I don't want to get wet, so I just went home. But it's their fucking fault. When it rains, drive a little slower. You're not going to be... when it's raining that hard, I'm going to drive 45, like 50, 55. When it's raining and it's still like just barely starting to rain, I'll drive 65. You know, it's not that wet still. Yeah. You just got to know how to drive and know the environment that you're in. You just stupidity.
Right. I see people go like 80 miles an hour and cutting people off. It's like, those are the people that smash their cars up. I mean, no reason to drive like that, you know?
Or you know what? I was noticing, too, those people that are weaving out of traffic and being assholes, they probably get other people in fucking accidents. Yep. They're probably like, oh, they cut somebody off, and then the safe person's getting, you know.
Every time I see an accident on A80, it's like, and then it's like, I know what happened. It's this asshole that we've always seen driving, weaving in out of traffic, going hella fast, cutting people off. I guarantee that's the same person that's involved in this accident. It's fucking idiots.
Scumbags. Impatient bastards. In other news, New Jersey transgender eight-year-old boy was removed from local Boy Scout troop because of his transgender identity. According to the local newspaper, none of the boys had an issue with it, but the parents did. Oh, this sounds juicy. This sounds like wretch territory. What's going on?
Well, for
what do you got to say about this?
So he was transgender. How old is he? 8?
Yes, 8 years old.
How do you decide that you're a transgender at 8? And then as a parent, how are you allowing your kid to make up his mind that he's transgender at 8?
Well, maybe he's like, maybe he has like a brother or maybe cousins, right, that are boys, and he notices that the other boys are playing with trucks, action figures, and he's probably sees how they're dressed, and he's like, he probably plays with dolls or what do girls do, play tea party, and like, he's dressing up as a girl, so he's probably like, what's wrong with me? Like, why am I dressing this way? And then the parents are like, oh, because you're a transgender. Oh,
so
is that what happened?
Parents? Yeah, like...
I'm guessing that's what happened.
I would love to interview those parents because... That's a decision that is made probably... I would say maybe when you're 16 or 18 or... Obviously 18, but...
Eight does seem a little young for this.
Yeah, if I'm the parent... I'm saying no. Cut. There's no circus bullshit in my house. All right, you're not going to be labeled as a transgender. You're a fucking boy, and I tell you what to do. I'm the fucking parent. You know nothing right now. It's a child. You know they don't know anything right now. They don't know the world. They don't know any better.
All
right, it's up to the parents to you know guide your children in the right direction if they feel like. There's no excuse. There's no reason why an 8-year-old should call themselves transgender. There's no excuse for that.
Well, maybe the boy didn't know he was transgender, but then the parents would have to buy him dresses and wigs or whatever, right?
I don't know if he
I mean, a little 8-year-old boy is not going to have enough money to go buy himself a dress and a purse and, like, long hair, right?
Yeah, the
like
parents,
wigs.
The parents are supporting this.
They encouraged
they're
the little boy.
They're encouraging their son to be a transgender. Where's the father in this and on all this?
I mean, it said parents, so I don't know if it's... And where was this located? Did you know where this was from? Was I think it's Tennessee, right?
Somewhere out there.
Yeah, so this is kind of like out of, you know, if this happened here in California, I think it would be more tolerated. But if it happened over there, it's definitely not going to be as tolerated. But I was going to ask you this question. Let's say your boy's 16 years old and he says, hey, Dad, I'm a transgender. Like, I feel more comfortable living as a woman. Then would you be like, okay, well, if that's the case, then live like that. But because you said he's 8 years old, you got to think this way because I'm your parent.
Exactly.
But when they're 16 years old and they're just after puberty and they're like, dude, like, I'm still thinking this way.
If it gets to that point, then you failed as a parent.
Oh, God.
That's when you admit defeat.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, when they're 8, you still have that upper hand on them, and then once they get to like 16 puberty, you start losing that control. But hopefully your parenting in their early years, you know, will have still have an effect on them so that they don't sway into this circus bullshit being transgender.
I hear, you know, I hear gay people and homosexuals or whatever they say that they're born this way, right?
Not true.
So, see, I want to say that they are born this way, that way, but I don't think yet psychologists or scientists have figured out the reason why they have.
It's got to be some psychological trauma or some type of trauma that happened to turn you gay.
Do you think
either
there's...
you're molested or...
You think
I don't
it
know.
Has to be?
It has to be.
It has to be
you're not
molested?
Born that way.
I think people are born that way, but I wonder if it's just like a chromosome that's different or like something in your gene that, because homosexuality exists in the animal kingdom as well. You know, like to me, it's like, and it's also, we're also talking about a very, very small percentage of the whole world's population. I think right now we feel like there's
this feels
more,
trendy to me.
It seems like homosexuality these days, it seems like it's everywhere and there's more people out of the closet, but that's only because I think it's because of the media and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's a very small percentage of gay people out there in the world. Like, it's not a big percentage. I was just wondering, like, is it just like something...
It has to be... You have to have daddy issues or abandonment issues... Some type of trauma, I feel, to turn somebody gay. And now you can, let's say we interviewed 50 gay people, and if they honestly say what happened in their childhood, I bet you one of those things comes up, or some type of trauma comes up.
In 1948, sexual behavior in the human male, Alfred Kinsey shocked the world by announcing that 10% of the male population is gay. That's in 1948.
Like 8% of that comes out of India.
India? What the hell are you talking about?
Indians are all gay and homo.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never met a gay Indian in my life.
Every Indian's gay. Because they all hate women and stuff, and they all just gather around in big crowds.
That's Muslims. Muslims hate women. That's why they have Sharia law.
Yeah, they're all gay out there.
You know, I never told you this. Did I tell you about that story with the soggy? Indian friend at Fry's Electronics, our coworker. His name was Pushpreet. Do you remember Pushpreet?
It sounds familiar.
So he's a funny, fat Indian guy that was from India.
He had a thick
Indian accent. And one day we're drinking beers right before we went bowling, and he said that, you know, in a thick Indian accent, you know, one time me and my friends, we were watching porn and drinking beers, and one of my friends passed out. So we thought it would be funny, like, and he's just laughing, and he's laughing more as he's getting into the story. And me, Seg Roth, Kent, and Champ were there listening to this. And he's like, and we thought it would be funny. So when he fell asleep, we all jerked off in his face.
We all.
And then he's laughing, and we're just like this. We're just like the shock in our face because he's being serious. He's not joking. And he's like, and the funny part, when I did it, a little bit went into his mouth. I was like, are you, what the, everyone's like, I think I grabbed them and I'm like, dude, you do not tell this story to anybody else. Don't say this to, it's not funny. He's all, are you fucking kidding me, dude? And I'm like, no, I'm not. You do not say this to nobody. All right, and then we're just, and after he left, after that night, we just we're just in shock and laughing that he was being fucking serious.
Wow. So maybe, I believe it. Maybe. I mean, they're all gay.
Oh,
and
God.
And you know, I don't hate gay people. I don't despise. I'm not into this whole transgender trend bullshit. It just seems like a trendy thing. I mean, what would trigger an 8-year-old to be transgender? To even call yourself transgender. It's one thing being gay, but then to actually call yourself a transgender at 8? Like, did he give himself that title, or is his parent? I mean, his parent? There's more to this story.
Well, you know, I was watching that movie Spotlight last night. I told you about that. Yeah. I think I said it earlier in the show. And one of the guys that was molested by one of the priests, he was 11 years old. And he said that prior to getting molested, he said he was gay. But he was an 11-year-old boy, and he didn't want to tell anybody.
Okay.
Because he knew that if he came out, like, he would be made fun of. You know, he wouldn't know what to do because he's gay. He's like, I don't know what to do. So he said that... it has nothing to do with it, but he said he was gay before he was molested by the priest. And he was living a normal life as a normal boy. I don't think you have to be molested to be gay.
No, there's some... molested or trauma. Some type of trauma.
What kind of trauma could it be?
And here's the other thing. Hold on one second before I lose this thought. That whole story relates... It goes to the Boy Scouts saying how they put up with no nonsense. They don't want that shit in the Boy Scouts. So the media spins it in a way of saying, oh, you know, the Boy Scouts need to change their stance on that because everyone should be accepted. So the story is against the Boy Scouts, but the real story is, well, how the fuck is there a 8-year-old claiming he's transgender? That's the real story right there.
The parents told him, oh, son, you're a transgender. That's why you're different. To me, if there was a transgender boy in my Boy Scout thing, I think I would tell my 8-year-old boy, like, hey, this is what's up with this person. And this is why this boy's like this. So,
you
and
stay
that,
away
that's...
from this clown. He's all trouble.
So
you stay away.
So
from
that's
him.
What you would tell your boy.
I would.
Would you care that there's a transgender boy in the
Close Scouts? I wouldn't
your
like.
Boys in the same.
I wouldn't protest. I wouldn't raise complaints because that's what happened. All the parents raise concerns and complaints.
Yes.
I wouldn't take it that far, but
because you rather just chill and play Clash of Clans in front of the TV.
Although I think I would have the type of relationship with my son to where we can talk real, and I would say that kid's a freak. He's a clown. You don't stay away from him. I would tell him that, and he would agree with me.
How should I say this?
I wouldn't say don't like completely ignore him or whatever. You know, obviously you have to interact.
So but you wouldn't encourage gay bashing?
I wouldn't encourage gay bashing, but I would say watch out for him. Stay, you know, just be on the lookout.
Just be polite.
Yeah.
But just
don't
just
make it awkward.
Just be with your friends and just
exactly.
Kind of like.
Yeah, just stay away from him. He's trouble. That's cancer.
not cancer. Well, you know what? I'll never have to go through that problem because I'll never put my son into some pussy little fucking club like the Boy Scouts. What do you learn there anyways? To start a fire? Hello, this is the 21st century. We use computers and cars now. Dumb fucks. And by the way, they said that they don't like gays being club scout leaders or whatever, and so they don't allow gays doing that. But then there's been a lot of reports where regular straight men have molested children, boys there. So, you know what? It's like the Catholic Church. You know, I'm not going to take my kids to the Catholic Church. I'm not going to take my kids to Boy Scouts. Fuck that.
Yeah, anywhere, any, yeah, anytime.
I'm not going to leave my kid with fucking strangers unless it's within school.
Yeah, anytime where there's an adult. Yeah, it seems, yeah, if it's not school, anything outside of that seems sketchy to me. Yeah, the Boy Scouts, church.
Especially they're spending the night outside in the woods with, yeah, like, strange men or people that I don't even know. So it's like, you know.
Even that science camp. I mean, in my science camp or our science camp, there was no funny business going on. But that would kind of make me think, like, my kid's out there for 5 days. What's going on?
Well, I think I would feel more safe because it was it was with the whole class, and the teachers are out there, and then you have cabin leaders.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
the cabin,
yeah, your
leaders
teachers
were,
are out there, or there's a couple of teachers out there.
Yeah, there's the teachers, and then plus there's like the older chaperones there, and then you had the cabin leaders,
yeah,
which were like high school,
yeah,
students.
Because I did that one year.
Yeah,
as a cabin leader.
Yeah, it's kind of weird if you were sleeping next to a middle aged man, or he was on top of you in the bunk bed.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's talk some serious news. Terrorist attack in Istanbul, Turkey. This happened yesterday, right?
Yeah.
At least 35 were killed and 40 were wounded in a terror attack at an elite nightclub where they were celebrating New Year's. Two gunmen entered the nightclub dressed up as Santa Claus and sprayed bullets at random at random inside of the Rene nightclub, city's most exclusive party spot, at a news party. Well, first, before we start this, I don't know how we could get serious when there's Santa Clauses shooting people with guns.
More these Islamic terrorist pieces of shit.
Is it them? Was it them? Is it ISIS?
It was their Arab descent, because they shouted Arab words or whatever.
Yeah.
But it just proves how much of a pussy they are. Like, you know, they have to hide hide within the population. They use human shields. You know,
bombs.
They hit you in the back. Bombs, suicide vests, and now they took it a step further, dressing up as Santa Claus and shooting the place up. It's like, how low can you go at this point?
Well,
I mean, they're all gay.
People
anyway.
Just, yeah. Well, people are trying to have. Oh, you mean Arabians are gay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I thought you said all Indian people are gay.
Oh, yeah. All Muslims, Indian, it's all the same to me. Fuck it. Who gives a fuck? But you're going to take a step lower. You're going to go even lower and dress as Santa Claus and just fucking spray bullets everywhere. I mean, they're fucking mowing people down in trucks. Like, they're just causing massive impact with these big-ass trucks and driving on, like, busy-ass streets. It's like, it's okay, they're doing that now. Now they're dressing up as Santa Claus and shooting people. Like, what's next? Like, what's the next bitch tactic they're going to take?
I know the next bitch tactic, because you said this a couple years ago. Ice cream trucks.
Ice cream. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. They're going to use ice cream trucks, and that's to cause maximum damage and to really terrorize a fucking community, killing kids with an ice cream truck bomb. That's the, yep.
Nobody would expect that.
Nope.
I wouldn't expect that. I just want a yummy treat, and then instead of a yummy treat, I get napalm in my face.
You know what's going to happen next?
What?
During Easter, so there's going to be someone dressed as the Easter Bunny at the mall.
Jeez.
And then he's going to have a suicide vest underneath it.
What do you mean by suicide vest? Like a
underneath his Easter Bunny costume.
But what's a
and then he's going to blow everybody up in a mall.
Easter Bunny.
They're already dressing as Santa Claus. I mean, did they have a fake beard too? Like I want to see how they look.
Why would they go that far to dress up as a Santa Claus?
To sneak in, I don't
see,
know.
See, this is how my mind works.
Sneak their instead weapons
of,
in.
Instead of praying and you know, being serious about, you know, the poor people that die just having a good time, I'm thinking, what store did they go to? Did they buy their costumes? Were they really well quality made Santa Claus costumes?
Did they have a fake beard?
Were they like the cheap ones? Did they go the extra mile of like their beards being like kind of really authentic, or was it the one with that little cheap white strap going behind your head? Were they wearing the boots, or was the costume part of the boots, but you're wearing sneakers underneath the part, that imitation boot?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm thinking about. Did they go the extra mile?
It was two guys dressed as Santa Claus. How awkward is that? Like, seeing two Santa Clauses. Like, well, were they together, or were they on separate, opposite sides of the club?
Well, you know, if they really wanted to wow me, one would have been a Santa Claus and the other one would have been an elf. Because if it's two Santa Clauses, that doesn't make sense, because there's only one Santa Claus in the world, right? And just like there's only one Easter Bunny in the world.
There's a massive manhunt right now for them because they escaped, believe it or not.
I'm not shocked, because they pulled out their guns, they shot, and they just ran away like pussies.
Yeah, they shot a policeman and a guard at the entrance of the club, and then they went loose. It's crazy.
That sickens me, but yeah. That wasn't too, it was serious, but I can't find it serious that Santa Clauses were shooting at anybody. It's almost like, let's say if this was really Santa Claus and he just went on a shooting spree, what would provoke him to get to that level? Like, he just had a bad Christmas, he was stressed out of work.
This is all fucking ISIS shit. Yeah, it's not that. Maybe he's pissed off because he's gay. So he's just going to go shoot everybody.
Because he came, his Indian friends came on his face. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Can we just, you know what? Let's get more serious, please. Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte has threatened the corrupt people of the country, stating that he has thrown a man out of a helicopter from midair. He admits he has done it himself and will do it again if someone is caught doing corruption. He claims that the man he hurled out of the helicopter was a rapist and a suspect to murder. He says, and I quote, "If you are corrupt, I will fetch you. I will fetch you using a helicopter to Manila, and I will throw you out," unquote. He killed three men. He was also being quoted as, "I don't know how many bullets from the pistol went inside their bodies. It happened, and I cannot lie about it," unquote. He also told Obama to go to hell.
It almost sounds like a fake story, like you read in like a tabloid. But
this is real.
This is real.
Where did you hear this from?
It was on Yahoo News. I think his quotes to Obama to go to hell. I guess I don't. He's got like some beef with Obama or something like that. He told him to go to hell for like I don't know for what. But this guy, he says like ever since like in '89 when he was elected mayor, he's been like killing like criminals and stuff.
When was this asshole elected?
I don't know he became president, but he's been like he was like a mayor in '89, and I guess he's been in politics ever since for the government.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, this guy, he's being compared to Trump because he just says a lot of wild shit.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, this guy is wild. I mean, he's saying he's killing people. And how come there isn't like outrage over this guy? Like, this guy is admitting to killing criminals, like literally killing people. And then Trump wants to enforce border laws, and everyone's calling him Hitler. This guy's fucking Hitler.
He said that he hurled out. He claims that the man he hurled out of the helicopter was a rapist. And then he also said, if I don't know how many bullets from my pistol went inside of their bodies, it happened. That's what he said. He kind of, the quote kind of seems like he was drinking a cup of coffee and just chilling in the morning, like reading the newspaper on his porch. When someone caught him saying that.
I need to follow this guy more closely. I want to see like what he says next.
You know, look at him. He doesn't even have a nice haircut. You know, like, but the Philippines is so poor. Like, I seen some government officials, like, they're out on the street, like, wearing sandals and stuff. Like, it's a third world country.
Jeez. People are so proud to be Filipino here, too. Like, but... Yeah, it's like a dump, huh?
It really is. I you could go over there. People say that you go over there with what the money that you have, and you're really rich over there, and jeez. you could the hottest Filipino chicks would want to like
that's what I heard.
Start talking to you because you have money.
Jeez,
it's a third world country. I can't comprehend what that is because I live in the United States.
You would at least growing up, going to school, like a lot of the population was Filipino, at least around me and Vietnamese.
They're very proud.
You would think that the Philippines is like some great country.
They had a lot of nationalism. They're very proud to be Filipino. And now that I've grown older, knowing more about the Philippines, it's like, why are you so proud? That place is a shit. It's probably even worse than Mexico.
Ugh.
And that's a shithole in itself.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. Well, at least he's trying to control the corruption in there.
Yeah, maybe he's tired.
Not
maybe
like Mexico, they're all corrupt over there.
I bet when he first went into like the version of their White House, which is probably like a teepee hut, a tiki hut or something in the Philippines, he's probably the first thing that he said is he dropped his briefcase and he was probably like, "All right, it's time to clean up this joint."
Wow. Yeah, we've got to follow this guy a little bit more closely. This guy's wild.
I don't want to follow him. He's too wild for me. And I don't even know why he's saying and doing. How could somebody that's saying that be in an office? That just shows you.
You can't take that country that seriously.
I can't take it seriously. Like, if we go to World War III, what are they going to do? They're going to send him in a chopper as, like, their main, like, troops. We have the Navy SEALs and Rodrigo Duterte with them. Like, he's like, "Oh yeah, guys, don't worry about it. I'll fucking put bullets in their body."
He'll suit up.
He's all like Rambo. Yeah. He's all "You get me the guy and I'll hurl him out of a helicopter."
That's some Scarface shit right there.
That is. He has to know Pacquiao, right? He's probably best friends with Manny Pacquiao. Because Pacquiao over there is like a senator.
He's in politics.
He's a dude. Manny Pacquiao, when he was the guy back in the day, he was a senator. He had his own TV show. He was a musician. He had his own albums out. He was the boxer. Dude, that guy was... Because that's everything that the Filipinos had, right? Like, they've never had another famous person like that.
I wonder if him and that president butt heads. Like, is he trying to change? Is Pacquiao connected to this guy? Because then what do you think about Pacquiao?
I bet you Pacquiao's more rich than this guy. I shit you not. I bet Pacquiao's more rich and powerful than this guy. Look at this guy. He looks like the dude that at the fucking... I don't know. He looks familiar. He looks like the dude at the store that he sells newspapers or something. he's a big shot over there, but he comes over here, he ain't
nothing
shit.
Over here.
Yeah, he's just a joke. It's like, deliver my mail.
I wonder if, he was a senator, but that'd be funny if he had, like, him and that president had, like, words or whatever.
Him and Manny?
Yeah.
I bet Manny's, like, laughing at all of his stories.
He's trying to change maybe Manny's trying to change the Philippines, and he's trying to keep it all...
hardcore?
Yeah, like a dictator.
Oh, fuck him.
Huh. That's crazy.
Well, after reading the story, I've come to the conclusion that this was not very serious at all. So, no more shenanigans, and no more bullshitting around. let's get really serious. A man accused of raping a 13-year-old girl on a Greyhound bus that traveled through Kansas had been deported 10 times and voluntarily removed from the U.S. another 9 times since 2003. Now that's what I call serious, bro.
How does that even happen? Like, if you get I get it. Okay, he got deported and he found his way back. But how do we control this nonsense? How do you control this maniac from staying out of our country? Is it Mexico sending them back? Like, I bet you they're funding it. I bet you they send them back to the U.S. Like these criminals or people they don't want. They probably send them out here some way. Because they're corrupt, right? It's a corrupt government. It's a corrupt country.
It's probably run by the cartel. But they send them back. They deport them. They probably check them in. But they don't go into jail. So they're freed, and he just probably immigrates back up here.
You know what I'm thinking?
What?
If you get deported from the U.S. and you constantly commit crimes, murder, if I catch you the third time, I'm not sending you back. I'm fucking killing you.
That's how it probably should be. There was that girl in San Francisco that got raped and murdered by that Mexican immigrant that was deported three times.
Like the Kate something law now? That's gonna
go into effect. It's three times that this asshole was deported, and then he came back and he fucking raped and murdered this beautiful young American girl. And it's sad, and it makes me angry that I feel like a large part. I'll just say liberals don't want. They feel like that's discrimination, but at the same time, it's like there's people that are being that are coming over here that aren't good people.
At what point do you put the political bullshit aside
and just look at facts?
Real. Yeah, get real here. This is why Trump won the election, because I bet you if he would have said something like that, the liberals would have been all ape shit over it, but when I just said it to you, you laughed, and I sense you agreed with it. And that's how Trump won, because he says all this shit that people agree with, because that's what everybody's thinking.
Well, I'm thinking.
Are you against not executing this asshole after the third time?
Well, see, I'm pretty sure the audience, after just listening to me in past shows or even today, I'm pretty sure they're like, wow, you sound like a cold-blooded guy. Maybe you too. They're like, oh, Wretch is a cold-blooded guy. But you got to understand that I don't want people to get raped or murdered. I don't want that. And if there is an illegal immigrant doing that, there should be rules, precautions, or steps to deal with that sort of shit. He can't just get loose again, because he's just going to come back. So I was actually even thinking the other day that if Trump builds this wall, I don't think he should, because they're going to find a way to get through the wall anyways, and it's just going to be a waste of taxpayers' money.
Right.
I think to really handle this, if an immigrant comes over here, you deport them. But if an immigrant comes over here, he commits a crime, you don't deport him. He has to get maximum punishment. And it'll make those criminals, illegal criminals, think twice before crossing that border. Because they're going to do something stupid over here. They're going to pay maximum fucking penalties. Just like
fucking open up Alcatraz. Open up something. Open up a prison for these assholes.
Put them in prison. But then it'll be our taxpayer
money. Exactly, to hold them. That's why you got to kill them instantly on the spot. Like the Philippine president.
We
get
need
tough like this.
We need Rodrigo Duterte as our president.
You know, okay, realistically, I don't know. Is he going to build the wall? I don't know. If he does,
I don't think it should help.
It probably won't.
No.
What I would do is I would deploy the National Guard to the borders. Because the National Guard doesn't do anything. I mean, they're to react at, you know, like emergencies or state of emergencies. They should be ready on the spot. But what are they doing when there isn't anything going on?
What does the National Guard even do? Are they out on the seas just chilling, or what
exactly
are they doing?
What are they doing?
No. What are they out there on a boat?
I'm sure
or
they're at
like
a camp somewhere, at like a base somewhere, ready to be deployed at any moment. You know, like a firefighter station. You know, they're just camped out until something comes out. Like, I'm sure they're at a military base. But why don't you use those resources? Use all those new recruits that come in. They go through boot camp. Send them to the border. Like,
I was gonna say, probably the only way you could stop is probably hiring more positions for Border Patrol, possibly. But then, even then, I think the cartel pays off certain Border Patrol guys to get underneath.
See, you gotta send the military. Send the military out there. National Guard for each state. Each state has a National Guard. So send your, or at least those border states like Texas,
Arizona, New Mexico, California.
Yes, yeah, send those, get those National Guard recruits and deploy them to the border. And get a whole, like, set up a green zone of just troops right there.
I don't think you will ever be able to control, maybe you could slow down immigration, illegal immigration to a certain degree, but it's always going to be there. And incidents like this, sadly, will always happen. And I think it's
19 times the same guy.
I think it's sad that people, liberals, are confusing this with discrimination when it's happening. Tragedies are happening. Innocent people are getting killed.
See, that's right. And then when it's okay, one guy does it. Okay, you catch him, you deport him. Fine, that was one time. For the same guy to do it 19 times, at what point do you say, all right, you're in my custody now. We're going to figure out we're going to figure something out.
I'm going to tie you up and throw you into my basement. I'm making sure you don't get out of my basement, you rat fucking bastard.
At what point do you say enough is enough?
See, they have to make laws. They have to make punishment, like penalties for that sort of stuff, which we don't, because it's just a slap in the wrist. You go in the bus and you go back to get deported, you know? And to me, that's just a slap in the wrist. They're like, okay, I got deported. I could make my way back through a different state.
If he commits a crime in the U.S., isn't he supposed to do time in Mexico once he gets deported?
Mexico is a really... I mean, those jails are pretty bad compared to American jails.
Jesus Christ. They got to do more. I mean, who the fuck's the president out there? He's got to get his country under control.
I don't think he should. I don't think he should build the wall. That's my thing on that. I think he was just kind of saying, I want to build a wall just to get more votes. But I don't think he's going to fulfill. I don't want them to, because it's going to be a waste of money, taxpayer money. They will find a way to get through to this country. You got to be like in that movie Sicario. Like, my family lives in Chandler, Arizona. And in the movie Sicario...
It's in Chandler, isn't it?
Yeah, it starts off in Chandler. So there's cartels in Chandler, where my sister lives in Arizona. And it's scary, because you could live... There could be fucking cartel guys in your fucking neighborhood that have murder fucking people, families, shit like that. It's terrible. And I would think that my sister would be more on board to be against illegal immigration, but she says it's discrimination.
That's what I hate about these liberal fucks. Like, like, it's all fun and games. It's like, okay, yeah, they support all these rights for, you know, all these criminals. It's all fun and games until something happens to their family. Until something happens to you personally, then I guarantee you'll care. But if it's not happening to you, it's like, oh, you know, all these people deserve their rights. They all deserve to come to our country. But until you're affected, you don't give a shit, and it shouldn't be that way.
And you know, one thing I'm already tired of is President Obama. It keeps saying stuff and being like, it's like, dude, you're done. Your reign is over. Your numbers are done. Your numbers are like, you know, your corner. You're done. It's Trump's time. And it's like, he keeps coming up and saying these things that are kind of like, he's just trying to make Trump look worse and worse and worse. And my family, who are liberals,
They're like eating this shit up, and they're just like, oh, well, Trump does this. Oh, and Russia did that, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, it's like not one time in your mind you've ever thought maybe the Democrats are just, you know, controlling me with fear, mind controlling.
I like how he said how if he would have ran a third time, he would have beat Trump. It's like, Hillary was basically Obama. And she
in
lost.
Female version.
In the female version. And then I like how...
Fat fucking slob.
This whole thing on Russia, it's like, geez, it's like, how? Why are you trying to create so much tension with them? Like, even Putin, with the whole Syria civil war, he was saying how he's not going to involve the United States until Trump gets in officially.
Uh-huh.
So we're pretty much cut out of the peace talks until Trump comes on board.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to deal with that fucking idiot Obama. Yeah. It's like the only thing that Obama did in the 8 years is he did the fucking college playoff system for football. That's the only thing that I think he did. And then every time I saw him talking, he would do the March Madness brackets. It's like, shouldn't you be in an office doing stuff important?
Yeah, or somebody was visiting like terrorist organizations like Black Lives Matters and... fucking guys that don't pay their taxes like Sharpton, riot instigators, just criminals in his White House.
Oh, jeez. See, I'm not saying that the right side is the right side. You know, the conservative side, or Trump is going to be like this, the perfect leader because he's opposite of Obama. But I'm not going to say that he's going to be the worst, and I'm not going to say that one side is the best because that's absurd.
Just like what he's doing now, and he's not even officially in office. He's, you know, he's bringing jobs back. He just announced like a deal with Sprint, and then like some other company that's working with Sprint to bring like total of like 8,000 jobs. Yeah, it's only 8,000. It's a small amount, but look what he's doing. Like people don't see that. They just say, "Oh, we're gonna be worse. He's gonna ruin this country." Like they don't even look at the positive that he's doing.
He's trying. him making and creating and keeping jobs in America sounds more like he's being more of a president than Obama being a president. I always see him going
president.
I always seen fucking Obama going to fucking like vacations and playing basketball and,
he's building this massive cabinet of, you know, just smart people, you could say. I mean, Exxon CEOs, the Secretary of State. I mean, he's got billionaires in his camp, military generals. I mean, he's making, like, smart cabinet moves. But no one, everyone's just so negative about it. Like, they're not even giving him a chance or even commenting on, like, the jobs that he's creating. Or, you know, like, they just, like, SoftBank, there's, like, this a Japanese company. They said they're going to invest, like, $50 billion in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
It's like, no one's talking about that. They don't want to talk about it. Just one company is going to invest $50 billion in our country.
Because there's going to be less taxes.
Yeah.
And more people are going to be investing now.
Yeah.
See, that's what I don't understand. The thing that turned me off about Democrats is when once Obama became president, the taxes on my paychecks got higher. And to me, everyone's swept up in racism and sexism and xenophobia. To me, it's like, you know what? Why can't I have more money? Why is the government taking so much money? You give me more money, I'll be happier. Like, what's wrong with that? I don't get it. I don't understand. Why don't you want more money in your fucking wallet?
We were talking about that, I think, a couple of shows ago, how our taxes are going to go down probably, but then like state taxes will probably go up.
State of California is going to like shoot them straight over through the roof.
I was just reading something how like sales tax on like just general products are going up.
Fucking bullshit.
So yeah, the money you save potentially.
Yeah.
You'll be spending more on like just like, you know, like Coke or whatever.
Yeah, just to me, it's like Democrats just want the middle class to be even poorer. That's what it kind of seems like to me. If you really want us to be better, why not cut taxes? And that's what President Trump is trying to do, or the Republicans are trying to do. You know, I was too young to kind of like go through the Bush era because I was still in high school.
Yeah.
But this year,
This time I'm in my 30s, so yeah. I'll be able to experience this as an adult. I want to see this.
Right.
I want to see these next four whatever years or 8 years that he's in, and I want to see what happens to my paycheck.
Yeah, it's all that matters. I mean, yeah, like I'm the same way. This is like the first election that I really followed, and I'm really like keeping up with what's going on and what he's doing. Like this is probably my first year that I'm going to be following his entire 4 years. I didn't even follow Obama's really his 4 years. I mean, I don't even think I cared that much. Like, I don't know why I care so much now. Probably because he caught my attention.
Yeah. Well, we're in that age where it's probably time to fucking buy a house, you know, invest and stuff like that, and you're thinking more economy-wise, so you want to know what the president is going to do with the economy.
Yeah.
And less taxes means you could save for your future.
Yeah.
I don't want to rely on Social Security in the future. Fuck that. Now that's serious! Anyways, time for stories around the sports world. And you know, when me and Rich made this outline earlier today, right? We wrote down that Chip Kelly is to meet with 49ers owner tomorrow for a meeting to talk about his future in San Francisco. Well, that meeting's not going to happen because Chip Kelly just got fired a couple of hours ago. Also, GM Trent Baalke was fired 2 days ago, but showed up to the game in Santa Clara today against the Seahawks. Any thoughts on that, Rich?
Well, right now that whole organization is just—it's just flipped completely upside down. I mean, you had the owner saying that they wanted to win with class, so they ran their coach out of town. And
twice. This is the second consecutive year.
Yeah.
They fired Tom Sula last year after 1 year. They fire Chip Kelly after 1 year. At this point, now you don't have a coach. You don't have a general manager. I can't think of a team in my lifetime who has had two head coaches just serving single year terms like that. Usually, a head coach gets at least
they're
3 years at least minimum.
They're in the Browns territory of just going through head coaches. It's interesting to see how they move forward. I mean, I think it all starts with the quarterback. If they're going to get rid of Baalke and Chip Kelly, I think you definitely part ways with Kaepernick because their whole thing, the owner, whatever the fuck his name is.
Jed York.
Yeah. They want to win with class. Well, yeah, Colin Kaepernick is the opposite of class. So I don't know why he's still on the roster.
Well, this is his contract year. This is it. He's not going to get signed again.
I would have cut it. His career's over. I wouldn't. And he's still going with this kneeling bullshit. There's no team. I don't even give a shit how good. He's not even that. He hasn't even proved to be what he once was. So if he's still going to go off with his kneeling bullshit, I would not even respect any team that signed him after this point.
I can't imagine one team signing him, especially this terrible performance of this year. And him being a distraction, which team would want him? I mean, what, the Jaguars, the Jets? But he's not going to be a starter. He's not going to beat anybody.
And you can't even bring him in to have a mentor anybody because, I mean, you want that guy mentoring your young guys? I mean, so you can't even use him for that. I mean, at least, yeah, Mark Sanchez is a total bum, but at least he's a classy guy, and you could use him as a mentor. But, I mean, no one's going to look up to this asshole. I mean, he's done. He's done in the NFL. And Blake Bortles. I always get those two assholes confused, Blaine Gabbert and Bortles. I mean, Gabbert will probably stick around to be the backup, but they need to draft a quarterback.
They need to draft a quarterback. They need to release Kaepernick.
Yeah.
You know, see, this is to get serious for a second. This is how fickle the mob is. To me, I feel like in the beginning of the season, during preseason, you saw Colin Kaepernick kneel because, you know, Black Lives Movement, right?
Yeah.
Black Lives Matter movement. And it was a huge uproar in August.
Yeah.
And in September, every fucking news station was talking about it.
Yeah.
Racism. Worldwide. The cops are killing unarmed black men in America. Like if it was almost 90% of officers doing it.
It was an epidemic or
and
something.
And now that it's the end of the year, I don't see fucking African American players kneeling anymore. I don't hear people talking about it anymore. I bet you next fucking year, nobody's going to be doing that. I don't see anybody kneeling anymore. It's just Kaepernick.
Yeah, and his boyfriend. I think his boyfriend does it with him. I think Eric Reed or something.
Yeah, that's what I mean. His boyfriend, yeah. That's what I mean about the crowd being fickle is that, yeah, they get swept up in all this dumb bullshit that the media is trying to feed to them. A couple months later that it is now, nobody's talking about it. No one even gives a shit anymore. The only thing that matters now is that they're talking about is still probably that they lost the election. That party lost the election. That's the only thing that matters now.
And the only person that they still report on it that does it is Kaepernick. I mean, every Niner highlight you see now, they always started with him. Oh, him, you know, he doesn't kneel anymore. Oh, yeah, he kneels. He takes a knee. He doesn't sit on the bench. Yeah, they always show that he's kneeling.
Yeah.
But he's really the only guy they report on it that's still doing it.
Yeah,
so,
it's ridiculous. Like,
I know that he's been doing it up to like the last couple of weeks. So I know late in the end of the season, he's still doing it. So he hasn't changed his ways. So that just shows you he's not going to change. So I don't know a single team that's going to take that risk. I don't know I don't care how desperate someone is for a quarterback. I would not take that. I would not take him.
I don't want that anti-American behavior philosophy in my fucking national football team. It's funny that everyone was so swept over about this racism of cop killers or whatever, and now nobody cares about it. Nobody's talking about it. It's so dumb. It's like a kid throwing a tantrum. And then 5 minutes, and a couple hours later, they're fine because they're distracted with something else. That's what it seems like with the fucking these liberals or these people that were pro Black Lives Matter. And now it's like, it's nothing now. It's nothing. We got these people got worked up for nothing.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Now they're, now the next thing they're doing now is staging fights at malls.
What are you? The hell are you talking about?
You didn't hear about all that was going on?
Do I even want to hear this?
It was the day after Christmas. It was like three or four different states that had just big ass fights at the malls.
For what reason?
They haven't really said it, but I don't know if it was due to just angry shoppers, but it turned out that there was two states in particular that it was organized through Snapchat saying that they were going to go, I guess, just have a big ass brawl.
Okay.
And the day after, so they thought, oh, it was just a coincidence. It happened, whatever. But then the day after, there was like another set of mall fights going on. And they're just teenagers just acting stupid, just fighting inside of a mall.
Oh, look, I have it right here. Check it out.
Yeah. I mean, can you believe that shit? I mean, and they said a couple of them were organized on Snapchat.
Fuck these people.
You know what really pissed me off? The other day my brother-in-law said that there's teenagers out there that like to initiate people in their crew or like in their friends, they have to go out and knock out an old man. Have you ever heard about this?
I've never heard of that, but as a teenager, I was hanging out with some friends that wanted to go just jump like some old people, like some bums.
Bums.
Like, yeah, like bums.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I don't want to do that. They're like, let's go jump them. It's like, no. Like,
why?
Yeah.
What the hell? Who fucking raised you? What? I would like to meet your parents.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Fucking assholes. And then also, what happened last week, that Arabian guy got kicked off of that flight.
Well, it was fake, though.
Yeah, but at first, people were outraged because he lied and said, I'm getting kicked off. He did a Snapchat saying, I got kicked off because I was speaking to Arab to my mom over the phone, which was a complete fucking lie. And to me, it's not the point that he's getting kicked off, that he's playing a prank. The thing that I would get mad about, or, you know, if I was a passenger on that flight, now I'm trying to be somewhere and someone's waiting for me at my destination in the other airport, and I told them be there at 8 o'clock because my flight lands there and I should be out there at 8 o'clock, and I'm getting delayed because of this fucking piece of shit sand nigger is taking a fucking dude. Fuck him.
You know what? That's what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, even though that deemed to be fake, the media still spun it in a way of okay, yeah, it was fake. It was a prank. But that situation happens in America. So it's like they're still trying to justify it by saying, okay, yeah, it was fake, but that scenario does happen. And it's like, bullshit, that doesn't happen.
I've never seen that happen.
Just because, because in the video he was saying, oh, just because I spoke a different language, they're kicking me off. Like CNN and the left-wing media, you know, spins it as if that's like a real scenario, even though that was a prank. They still try to justify it by saying this is what really does happen, though.
Get the fuck out of here.
That shit don't
that guy
like that.
That guy delayed a flight. He's inconsiderate, and people were late to where they needed to go. I'm more pissed off about that than anything else.
Yeah.
Fucking asshole. Anyways, did you hear that Ronda Rousey fought the other night?
Wow.
Yeah. You want to hear the whole fight?
Sure.
Here we go! The champion in the black, the challenger in the blue. Nunes. Utilizing that reach early, mixing things up.
She tagged it. She tagged it again. She heard her. Nunes with a big right hand, Mike. And again, she heard her again. Ronda's in trouble. Nunes. She's in trouble, Mike.
Over the top.
Big trouble.
Can she finish it right here, right now?
She shot her to the body. Ronda is in big trouble, Mike. Nunes' hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tagged her again.
Over and over. Amanda Nunes. Big combination.
That's it. It's it. It's all over.
Flawless performance by Amanda Nunes.
So people paid $60 to watch a 48-second fight on Friday
flawless
night,
victory.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking Mortal Kombat. But yeah, Ronda Rousey, she's been knocked the fuck out in the last two fights. She lost her belt when she was undefeated against that one girl that kicked her in the face and knocked her out. Then she comes back trying to make a comeback, and this other girl knocks her the fuck out. It looks like she was just punching a punching bag.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't even like putting her hands up at a certain point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she's kind of hot sometimes, but it kind of goes back to us talking about, fucking NFL players being on commercials. If she spent less time on movies and commercials and all this stuff, she probably wouldn't have gotten knocked out. Because she would be training more.
Less time on Sports Illustrated swimsuit magazines and stuff.
Yeah. She does look kind of good sometimes, though.
Oh, yeah, she's hot. I'd bone her. But you can probably mark this at as the end of her career. I mean, getting knocked out twice like that.
Twice.
Like, she's pretty much done.
I don't think there's any coming. You know, they said after she lost that first fight, she was contemplating suicide.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, now what? Now what do you contemplate? Suicide again?
Yeah. Yeah, that's unfortunate. But it seems weird. It just seems like if a dude gets knocked out twice like that, like, he can come back. Like, it just seems like, in this situation, it just seems like she's done. I don't see her coming back now.
I would think that because she got knocked out again, then she would, like, fall lower than any other contestant, she's gotta like fight other some. Fighters. Like, she has to start from the complete bottom now.
Yeah, because this was like a title fight. Like, it has not even happened. She lost, and then she's already in a title fight. But
exactly.
Yeah, she's going to have to face some horrible competition now if she wants to ever come back.
To come back, yeah.
She's got to do a couple of them, a few of them in a row.
Well, I hope she saved her money because just in case she can't even fight anymore. anyways, other newsworthy stories that came out today. Wide receiver Steve Smith retires after 16 years playing in the NFL. Both teams were, he spent most of his time with the Panthers and ended his career with the Ravens. Gary Kubiak retired today as Denver Broncos head coach due to health issues. I think he had a heart attack 2 years ago as the Texans coach. And notably, the wild card weekend. Next weekend, we have two games right now that we know of, Miami at Pittsburgh, Oakland at Houston, and then we have on Saturday night, which is by NBC, the Lions are visiting the Seahawks, and on Sunday, the Giants go and travel to the frozen tundra that is Lambeau Field. You got any picks?
Wow. So it's the Giants versus the Packers?
Yep.
Wow. Jeez, that's a big game. That's probably the best game of the wild card weekend.
Most definitely, because I see the Seahawks mopping the floor with the Lions.
Yeah, I would go Seahawks over the Lions.
I agree.
Aaron Rodgers is playing crazy right now.
I'm picking Pittsburgh over Miami. But
they lost three cornerbacks, I think, today in tonight's game.
The Packers?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You know what? I'm gonna pick the Giants. I think they're gonna upset the Packers.
Hey, Eli has beat the Packers, the Brett Favre Packers, in Lambeau Field in the NFC Championship before. So, but you got the Giants. I'm going Packers because they got that run game now. The run game's working for them.
The Packers are the sixth seed. No, they're the four seed.
They're the four seed. They won the division, the NFC North division today.
So if the Giants win, they go to Dallas.
I think so, yeah.
Jeez.
So I want the Packers to win because I want nothing to do with the Giants. Miami. Uh-huh.
It almost feels like Dak has to play the Giants because if they don't play the Giants, it's like, okay, like the Warriors didn't play the Spurs or whatever when they won a championship. It's almost like he has to beat the Giants in order to really solidify himself, you know, in case he wins a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Miami, Pittsburgh. I'm picking Pittsburgh. Miami doesn't have their quarterback anymore.
I don't even know how they're in the playoffs.
Tannehill. Yeah, and by the way, even if they had Tannehill, I would still choose the Pittsburgh Steelers to win that game. Oakland at Houston. The most boring game of the weekend.
It has now become the most boring, yeah.
Yeah, Derek Carr's out. Derek Carr broke his fibula.
Houston is just horrible in itself as well. I mean, that's just a shit game.
Total bore fest.
Now, I said it like a couple weeks ago to some Raider fan that I know that ever since Carr got hurt, they're not going to win a single game for the rest of the season, so I'm gonna go with the Texans.
Wow. I can't believe it. I'm going Texans too, only because I would think that just Derek Carr's injury is just absolutely deflated the Oakland Raiders. You know, deep down in their hearts, they're like, we can't win without him.
And they had hope today. They had hope that McGloin would play well and have some momentum going into the playoffs. That didn't happen.
I didn't. When Derek Carr and I heard McGloin was going to come in, I
could already tell.
I knew they're just deflated. How do you win without your star quarterback?
But as a fan, you know, you have hope for your guy, your backup. But now after what happened today, it's like, okay, that's it. It's done.
Ooh, I like to end it on this note. The Raiders Cinderella story is over. Anyways.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Oakland Raiders. And time for our sorry segment, which I have a big sorry and apologize to you, the audience. By the way, before I do this, do you have any sorries, Rich?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? I kind of want to say I'm sorry for throwing out the N-word earlier. But I said sand N-word. So that wasn't, you know.
No one cares about them.
I wasn't pointing at African Americans. I was pointing it at, I couldn't think of anything else I could call this guy. And I wasn't calling all the gay Indian people out there sand N-words. I was just calling just that one guy that delayed the flight. I really hope that guy gets blown up by one of those killer Santa Clauses. Anyways, I'm sorry, because as you guys might know, Rich wasn't here last week, and I did the show by my lonesome. And I'm sorry to the audience, because I said that LeBron James is now the 8th all-time scoring leader in NBA history. He passed Moses Malone. But last week I said he passed Moises Alou. And Moises Alou was the left fielder for the Chicago Cubs. So my bad, ladies and gentlemen. That is my sorry.
I was fully prepared to apologize to Derek Carr at the end of the season because he played so well.
He did.
But after he got hurt.
Yeah.
I cannot apologize. Because Derek Carr proved to be the Derek Carr I was talking about all year. He was going to find a way to fuck them.
His third year, he fucked them good. He fucked them so good. 3 years in the NFL. How long? When's the last time the Raiders had a winning season?
2002? Since the Super Bowl. 2003 or whatever it was.
Wow. And they finally have a great year, a winning season. They could have been 13-3. And
they could have stood up to the Patriots. Now it just seems like no one can stand up to the Patriots in the AFC.
It's over. No, there is hope. And that hope is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh.
So I'm sorry, guys. I apologize.
I want to apologize to... no, actually, I don't want to apologize to him. I was going to apologize.
Wait a minute. Who?
I was going to apologize to Jason Garrett. But
wow, really?
I was, but then after today, he still kind of proved to be the same coach.
What do you mean?
Like he could have done a better job in coaching today's game, but it just seemed like he laid down and Mark Sanchez didn't help. But he's not this great coach like Belichick where you can just win with any quarterback.
Yeah.
Like you have the number one team. You almost had the number one team in the whole league. You shouldn't have lost the way you did today.
The New England Patriots are the number one team in the entire league because they're 14-2.
They shouldn't have lost that way. I mean, I get that they still had a lot of their starters out there.
I, for one, will never apologize to Jason Garrett.
I wanted to apologize to him because I thought he did a good job managing this team this year.
How about 2 years ago when they went 12-4?
Yeah. Well, last year he really proved himself to be worthless because he couldn't win for dick. And then he kind of just went back to that today. Like that's who Garrett is.
Big fucko, slapping players on the butts.
Yeah.
Clapping and checking his headset to see if it's still on.
So I wanted to apologize to him, but I can't.
Also, we're gonna do the fucko of the week. I have no fuckos. Do you? Because I don't. I can't think of one.
Let's the clear, obvious one.
Let me play the music and let's see if we get inspired, huh?
The clear, obvious fucko, at least for today, is Mark Sanchez. I mean, you had, okay, Dak, obviously, stud, rookie quarterback, leads his team to the fucking first round bye, division playoffs. A rookie. Tony Romo hasn't played all fucking year, gets hurt. He's taken like two snaps in the last year and a half, almost 2 years. He comes in, goes 3 for 4, leads his team down for a touchdown.
Pretty sweet drive.
Mark Sanchez comes in, and he's typical Mark Sanchez. He fucking throws an interception. It gets tipped. The other guy, the lineman, catches it. It's like some circus bullshit going on.
Yeah, it did.
It was a circus interception, like a typical Mark Sanchez interception.
Only what happened to Mark
Sanchez.
Yeah,
it only happened to him. Okay, fine. That was his first pick. Then he throws a second pick.
Yep.
And then he runs back like 20 yards and gets sacked on like his final drive, like mm-hmm. to make a comeback.
Yep.
It's like typical Mark Sanchez. Like, he proved that he cannot play in this league anymore. He's my clear cut fucko
of the week.
Of the week.
Oh, first fucko of the week, Mark Sanchez.
Proved that he cannot play in this league.
I got a fucko of the week. I just thought about him right now. Chip Kelly. Yeah, I'm Chip Kelly. Yeah, I think my college offense could work in the NFL. I drove the Philadelphia Eagles down a hole, and then the Niners were dumb enough to give me a job. But then I couldn't even win 3 games, and Tom Sula went like 4 games. I'm Chip Kelly, and I'm really fat, and I just got fired today. Yeah. And that's our first 2017 Fucko of the Weeks. Mark Sanchez and Chip Kelly. How do you go into the NFL with a fucking college-style run offense?
Yeah, it's unheard of.
It's retarded. Anyways, usually we end our episodes with the Pulp Fiction theme. But I thought since today is New Year's Day and I didn't do jack shit for New Year's Eve, I thought we would end it with this song. So, Rich, not what did you learn about this episode, but what did you learn about 2016? What did you learn in 2016?
I learned the true colors of a liberal Democrat.
And what is that?
They're crybabies. They're bullies. It seems like they're out for themselves as well. I don't think they care about the American voter. They want your vote. And once they get your vote, it's like, okay, bye-bye, fuck you. I don't give a fuck anymore.
I'm in office. I got what I wanted.
Yeah.
I'm rich, bitch.
And I never really saw them in that light until this year. So I learned that the left wing, and I learned the media is corrupt. I learned that this year. Because I was always a big fan of CNN until I really saw how they report stuff. Starting with the whole Ferguson riots, how they were calling them peaceful protesters. And then you turn over to Fox News, it's like, yeah, these guys are rioting. I mean, this is out of control.
Yeah.
It's like the same biased media, that's where it started for me.
I learned today that no matter what year it is or what team he's on, Mark Sanchez is a grade A fucko. Also, I learned this year that it doesn't matter what record the Detroit Lions have, they will find a way to lose. No matter what year it is. Packers won the division, by the way, today. That's what I learned.
I learned Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are probably the best at what they do. Best quarterback, best coach. that I've ever seen in my lifetime.
I learned in 2016 that even family members could be snakes. Oh, and that Black Lives... and that Black Lives don't matter. All lives do.
All lives matter, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and that because you're molested, you become a... you become gay. Oh, and that all Indians are gay.
Wow, yeah.
All Indians are gay, too. Colin Kaepernick won't have a job next year. Anything else?
I believe that's it.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Subscribe to us on Podomatic to keep up with weekly episodes. We wish you a happy new year, even though I really don't mean it. And see you guys next week. Peace.